The city of Sacramento created a nightlife manager to improve the late night experience. Ahead on Inside, as she approaches her 1 year on the job, Tina Lee Vogt shares a clear picture of what to improve.
One of the things we're looking at is ensuring diversity, equity, and inclusion is seen not only for the business owners, but the patrons. It's something that's really important to me.
Also, the California State University system will soon have new leadership. Chancellor-elect Mildred Garcia joins us with how she plans to weather challenges across CSU campuses. Finally, a Butte County nonprofit came up with a novel approach to create affordable housing. We'll learn about this home-sharing model that's working to tackle aging safely at home and affordable housing all under one roof. I'm Vicki Gonzalez. That's all coming up today on Insight. But first, here's the news.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Amy Held. A prolonged southwest heat wave is forecast to expand and build across the eastern two-thirds of the U.S. this week. At the same time, extreme heat is hitting areas from China to Europe, as scientists say this July is on track to be the world's hottest month ever recorded. In part due to climate change, home insurance is getting more expensive and harder to buy in the U.S., NPR's Rebecca Hersher reports.
This summer, a slew of large insurance companies have announced that they're going to stop offering new home insurance policies, and in some cases, not renew existing policies, in Florida and California. And nationwide, the average cost of home insurance is up about 20% since 2015. That's partly because climate-driven wildfires and hurricanes have caused hundreds of billions of dollars in damage in recent years, which has insurers worried. Dave Jones is the former top insurance regulator for the state of California.
In California and elsewhere through the United States, we're marching steadily towards an uninsurable future.
That's bad news. Without home insurance, people can't get mortgages and may lose everything if a disaster damages or destroys their uninsured home. Rebecca Hersher, NPR News.
Russia is blaming Ukraine for what it calls a terrorist drone attack on Moscow this morning. NPR's Charles Maines reports from Moscow.
Russia's defense ministry said it suppressed the drones by jamming their radio frequencies, and it was unclear the drone's intended target or where they'd been intercepted. One crashed close to the Russian defense ministry building in the city center, while another hit an office high-rise further to the south. There were no serious casualties reported, but witness videos showed shattered storefront windows and heavy damage to the upper floors of the office building. Meanwhile, the Russian-backed authorities in annexed Crimea reported an ammunition dump had caught fire from a drone attack on the peninsula. The alleged attacks follow nearly a week of intense Russian bombing of the Ukrainian port city of Odessa. Charles Maines, NPR News, Moscow.
This week, major tech and energy companies in the S&P 500 will report quarterly earnings. NPR's David Gura reports it will give a peek into profits ahead of an expected interest rate hike.
Microsoft and Alphabet, Google's parent company, report earnings on Tuesday, and Meta, Facebook's parent company, is on Wednesday. Later in the week, we'll hear from Exxon. Companies like consumers are dealing with the effects of higher interest rates. The Federal Reserve starts a two-day meeting on Tuesday, and Wall Street expects that after the Fed took a break from hiking interest rates at its last meeting, it'll increase them again by a quarter point. David Gura, NPR News, New York.
At last check on Wall Street, the Dow is up 197 points. That's more than 0.5%. And the S&P 500 is up 21 points. That's less than 0.5%. You're listening to NPR News.
It's 9:04 with CAP Radio News. I'm Steve Milne. A Southern California school board has resolved a dispute with Governor Gavin Newsom over a social studies curriculum. The Temecula Valley Unified School District has voted to adopt the curriculum for elementary school students. The board had previously rejected the curriculum, in part because it mentioned Harvey Milk, California's first openly gay elected public official. Newsom threatened to fine the district $1.5 million unless it approved the curriculum. The board president said the vote was not in response to Newsom's threat. He said the board approved the curriculum to avoid a lawsuit. Stronger coastal protections for Sonoma County's 55-mile shoreline are in the works. The County Board of Supervisors has approved an updated local coastal plan. Among other things, it bans the development of offshore energy production or storage. Supervisors added the language in response to a proposal from a developer in the southern U.S. who's raised the idea of building a hydropower storage facility near Fort Ross. Supervisor Linda Hopkins.
I'm just kind of curious if there might be an opportunity to look at an ocean outfall policy that would essentially ban that kind of ocean outfall, which would really help support our marine ecosystems and also, again, get to how many ways can we say no to these inappropriate developments, in this case proposed by an Alabama developer of all things.
Supervisors also agreed to ban desalination utility projects except where necessary for preservation of health and safety. The local coastal plan must now be approved by the California Coastal Commission. Gas prices in the Sacramento region have stayed relatively flat in the past week. Tracking Service Gas Buddy says the average price for a gallon is now $4.71. That's only a penny less than a week ago. We're on Facebook as Cap Radio.
Support for NPR comes from Angie, dedicated to helping homeowners find skilled pros to get their home projects done well, from everyday repairs to dream remodels. Reviews, pricing, and booking are at Angie.com or on the Angie app. This is NPR.
Live from Cap Radio in Sacramento, this is Insight. I'm your host, Vicki Gonzalez. Last year, the city of Sacramento created a unique position on the heels of two mass shootings outside downtown bars and nightclubs, a shooting on K Street that killed six people and left 12 injured, and a shooting on L Street that killed one person and injured four others. Both were in the early morning hours as bars and nightclubs were letting out. In October, the city announced the creation of the Office of Nighttime Economy to help ensure safety and success for businesses and patrons. And tapped for that position is Tina Lee Vogt. We spoke with Tina here on Insight shortly after being named to that position. She comes with a lot of experience, both professionally and personally, to the post. And now she's 9 months into her new role and sat down with Cap Radio's Sacramento government reporter, Kristen Lamb, with an update on what she's been working on to make nightlife safer and more enjoyable for visitors and businesses alike. Kristen, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
So Tina Lee Vogt is not new to Sacramento. She has a long history working in city government and also just with ties to the local community. Remind our listeners about her connection to Sacramento.
She's worked for the city for more than 30 years, including in the police department, neighborhood services, finance, and community development. She also used to oversee the city's tenant protection and rental housing inspection programs. And she's also worked with nightlife venues like bars and clubs for more than a decade. Before she took on this latest role, she had managed the city's entertainment permit program since 2009.
Yeah, and that's her professional experience. But even personally, she has been touched by violence and has had tragic experiences to herself and her family. How does she bring those experiences to her role as nighttime economy manager?
Yeah, Lee Vogt was family friends with the man who died in the L Street shooting outside of Mix Nightclub last July. 31-year-old Greg Najee Grimes was an assistant football coach at Indercombe High School, and she grew up with and is close to his mother, Deborah Grimes. Lee Vogt saw the Grimes family transform their grief into organizing first aid for the community, so she worked with police and fire to provide that training to entertainment businesses, too. And as you discussed with her last time when she had first started the job, back in 2000, a Los Angeles Police Department officer fatally shot her brother. Because of that, when she coordinates with police, she says she seeks to understand their training and approach.
One of the things that's really important about the officers that are on the entertainment team is that it's a little different. It's really more about trying to work with folks, whether it's the businesses or the patrons, on more of a compliance and facilitating things versus an enforcement approach. So a lot of the people that are on our entertainment team, that's really what their focus is on. It's not really on going in and trying to catch people doing things wrong. Our focus is really on trying to be proactive and trying to help folks and see how we can work with them.
And this follows this new position. I mean, we had several violent incidents in the downtown area. I talked about the two mass shootings that happened in downtown last year, but those weren't the only incidents involving firearms and guns and resulting in someone dying. How much of a role did all of these events last year have in the creation of this position back in October?
So when the city announced the new position, Mayor Daryl Steinberg said it wasn't a sudden reaction to the shootings. But at the same time, the city also said creating the role was one of their latest steps to improve safety in the central city, like extending late night police patrols in the area, improving lighting, stuff like that. I also think it's worth noting that while the majority of entertainment businesses are downtown and in Midtown, Lee Vogt is responsible for supporting nightlife throughout the city.
So when it comes to security, I mean, the nighttime manager or the manager of nighttime economy, that's a pretty broad description of a role. Walk us through some of the issues that she's responsible for as they relate to security and safety.
As the lead coordinator and policymaker for all things nightlife, she works closely with the police department. Like, she organizes the city's quarterly pubs, clubs, and bars trainings with police and fire. Venue managers and security guards go to those for best safety practices. And other trainings she organizes have covered active shooters, sexual harassment, and bystander intervention. She's also in charge of reviewing the city's entertainment ordinance that covers safety-related issues like entrance requirements and orderly dispersal after closing time.
And that's not all, right? She also handles permits for music and things like that. How does that work?
Absolutely. She's been looking at whether the city should offer more types of entertainment venue permits that could involve creating more opportunities for music performances. And besides private entertainment venues, she also works with the city's special events staff on concerts in public spaces. A lot of her job involves problem solving and researching best practices, too.
Given that she's been in this role now for about 9 months, but, you know, her presence in city government, you know, as a city, you know, official, it goes back more than that. What has been the reaction in the past, you know, year or so about her and her role, which is a new one for the city of Sacramento?
I spoke with Michael Alt, executive director of the Downtown Sacramento Partnership. You know, he and Tina go way back. But in the last 9 months, he says that she's improved communication with bars, restaurants, and business groups. He says she's especially skilled at preparing entertainment venue operators for trends, whether it's positive or negative. Here he is explaining how Tina understands their shared goal.
Tina's role is really front and center in trying to balance and juggle a lot of different partners that are at the table that have a role in these entertainment districts. And so, you know, I think she's proven to be very proactive at that. I think we all want the same thing. We all want people to have a good experience when they're coming downtown. Our goal is to have you come down, go to a venue, have a great time, go back, talk to your neighbors about what a good experience it was, and hopefully come back. And so perception is critical to all of us. And I think Tina understands the importance of that, not just for our own districts, but for the city's perception as well.
How has the city's approach to nightlife changed with her as the lead person?
Assistant City Manager Michael Jasso is Lee Vogt's boss. He says she combines code enforcement knowledge with a vision to nurture nightlife businesses. When she started the new role, she moved into the Office of Innovation and Economic Development. Jasso explained her impact so far like this.
Tina can foster a much more holistic approach than we ever did, and really see it as a vehicle for growing the industry, not just regulating the industry. And I think those go hand in hand. You know, we have economic development people that are working on small businesses, small business financial, you know, capacity, et cetera. So she's able to leverage the expertise and her colleagues in a way that it would have been harder when she was within just community development.
You're listening to Insight here on Cap Radio. And if you're just joining us, we're talking with Cap Radio's Sacramento government reporter, Kristen Lamb, about the city's nighttime economy manager and how her first 9 months on the job have been going. There are a lot of issues, and she is just one person for this office. How is she managing just by herself? What kind of support does she have?
The city council just last month approved funding for her to hire an analyst. So soon, the Office of Nighttime Economy will be an office of two instead of just her. She's also part of the larger Economic Development Office, which has about 40 people. But those technicalities aside, Lee Vogt said says that she's a facilitator, bringing in different teams and people as needed from both the city and the business community, from police and fire, even Parks and Rec, organizing those community events.
Yeah, a big piece of her job, and she's been doing that this year, is really like canvassing and surveying the community, getting feedback from a variety of people that rely on nightlife in downtown Sacramento. What is she learning from this really a formal survey and assessment that she's been conducting over several months?
Mm-hmm. She started leading what they're calling a sociable city assessment in February. It looks at ways to improve Sacramento's nightlife. And Lee Vogt says that she hopes it will give her a blueprint moving forward of things to focus on. Entertainment venue operators, developers, marketers, and residents have participated in dozens of meetings for the study. They've discussed issues from sound control to permits, done lots of roundtables. The study will also include a survey of nightlife business revenue in Midtown and Downtown. Lee Vogt says it will give a snapshot of how nightlife benefits Sacramento. Back when she first started in October, she had said that that was a priority for her to do an economic impact study for nightlife. And she expects that the sociable city assessment will be ready to share with the city council in the fall.
Okay, so in a few months. In the meantime, did you get a sense of people who stand to benefit from this survey and this snapshot, what they hope will come out of this assessment?
Yeah, Kimio Bazit is a broker at Turton Commercial Real Estate and a longtime Sacramento restaurateur. He's part of the study's steering committee. He says it's easier to navigate city requirements than when he entered the nightlife entertainment industry 20 years ago. Still, he wants to see the study streamline processes further.
My hope is that it will create an environment where venue operators and business operators can be free to perform their primary function rather than having to spend onerous amounts of time worrying about applications and permits and inspections and things like that.
And while this office is new to the city of Sacramento, it's not new to California or even the country. Is Tina working with other nighttime economy managers in other cities to help shape how she wants to help nightlife in Sacramento?
She's involved with NightCap, a national organization of nighttime economy managers. Other cities with this position include Seattle and San Francisco. And she's actually talked with San Francisco about how they offer two types of entertainment venue permits. Sacramento only offers one right now, but she says changing that could open up more opportunities for performances at a lower cost to venues.
When it comes to inclusivity in nightlife, what are Tina's plans to make sure that entertainment venues, as this continues to evolve, it continues to embrace or even grow with diversity?
She's the chair of NightCap's diversity committee and really passionate about the topic. On the local level, she's organized a focus group on women's safety in the nightlife scene, as well as a training on LGBTQ inclusive policies for entertainment venues. Here she is explaining one goal.
One of the things we're looking at is ensuring that diversity, equity, and inclusion is seen not only for the business owners, but the patrons. And so it's something that's really important to me. So I really want to start working with some of our ethnic chambers and reaching out to them and doing some different things. I know there's some opportunity with some funding.
One possibility she mentioned is something similar to the Sacramento Creative Business Innovation Challenge. The program helped entrepreneurs of color grow their businesses this past May and June, and she's hoping that that sort of funding could be used with more of a focus on entertainment.
Which means there's more for you to follow.
Yes.
Thanks so much, Kristen.
Thanks for having me.
Kristen Lam is updating us on Tina Lee Vogt's position as Sacramento's first nighttime economy manager. Up next, the California State University system will soon have new leadership. Chancellor-elect Mildred Garcia joins us with how she plans to weather challenges across CSU campuses. You're listening to Insight on your NPR station, CAP Radio. I'm Vicki Gonzalez.